Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
56 licenses. And that's obviously a lot. And it really kind of, I don't know, it felt like a bit of a red flag for me. I wanted to bring in Sarah Westby, co-chair of Shipman & Goodwin's cannabis team. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. You know, that's a lot of applicants, which makes me think that maybe the system to do this isn't quite right, because it's not that helpful to have a deadline and then have to sift through 37,000. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, it's interesting. So I think there's two ways to look at it. One is the sense that it's a strict lottery system, so each individual applicant has the same chance of being selected as each other individual application. However, as we know, applicants can apply an unlimited number of times. So that clearly favors the larger operators who have the resources to continuously spend the time and money on serial applications.
Yeah, and so I actually had been told by some people off the record that there is a kind of a massive stuffing the ballot box type thing going on, and that's what you're implying. I mean, are we talking like three or four entities might have a couple thousand applications?
That certainly could be the case. I think it's a larger number that has somewhere in the hundreds of applications. I know just from what I saw, there are, you know, several of the existing medical operators in the state put in numerous applications, but also some of the multi-state operators who were not previously doing business in Connecticut under the medical marijuana regime also wanted to come into the state and put in several applications.
Well, we're talking with Sarah Westby from Shipman & Goodwin here on Bryan & Company. But does that mean that the process maybe wasn't set up properly?
I think it was set up intentionally. I think it will be interesting to see who ends up getting the licenses, and the system that was devised may not end up serving the interests of social equity and social justice as intended. But I don't think there's any way to know that until we see who those lottery license winners are.
I'm going to give you a hypothetical, and this is completely unconfirmed. I'm asking the question because people have said this to me. I've talked to a lot of people about this, that some, to get into the social equity side of things, that some of these entities paid someone to be the figurehead of that application to get into that side of the process?
So I think there were a lot of situations where a social equity applicant would partner with a large operator or an existing cannabis business to meet the definition of a social equity applicant in order to get that priority status. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but where the devil is in the details, of course. So what do those partnerships look like, and is the social equity applicant really getting a fair deal, or are they just a straw man or a figurehead? And,
yeah,
and that's the Social Equity Council and the accounting firm that they and the DCP have retained to really scrutinize these applications.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems, I've had enough people say it to me, so I think there's something to it. Whether it's ultimately fair or not, we'll have to wait and see. We're talking with Sarah Westby from Shipman & Goodwin. So, okay, just clarify for me, because obviously there's so much involved here. What does your firm do in this process? You represent businesses trying to apply, or like how have you guys been involved?
Sure. So we've been representing people on all sides of the spectrum in the cannabis industry, from individual social equity applicants to larger operators to those partnerships between social equity applicants and larger operators. We've also represented some non-plant touching companies who want to get into the business. So those would include equipment manufacturers, laboratories who would be doing cannabis testing. We also represent CBD manufacturers on the other side of the cannabis spectrum. But with the adult use cannabis, we've primarily been assisting individuals and existing businesses in forming partnerships, getting their corporate documents in order so that they have a proper business, and assisting with the application process, because the application, while it wasn't incredibly labor intensive, I think it was a lot more complex than people thought it would be.
So I guess, you know, from here, the one thing, and I'm interested in your opinion on this. I mean, it seems that other states that approved it went from tea to green much quicker in terms of getting, you know, places open and running. Is this slower than it's been in other states that have approved recreational marijuana?
I think it's hard to say. So if you look at the tri-state area, New Jersey moved pretty quickly from the time that it awarded licenses to the time that businesses got up and running. But there was a pretty, you know, still a decent lead time there. New York is taking a while to run its licensing process. So it had legalized adult use cannabis before Connecticut, but it looks like Connecticut will end up opening shops before New York. But I think what we don't know yet is how long it's going to take these businesses from the time they're awarded a provisional license until the time they can open their doors. And under the law, they have to do that within 14 months. But there's nothing to stop them from doing it sooner. And so I think that the existing businesses and the multi-state operators who are coming in from out of state but have this experience in other states are going to have a significant leg up and are going to be able to open their doors in a much quicker time frame than the 14 months allocated.
Well, so having said this, that's actually my next question is what's the timetable from here? Because the deadline passes for the application. You have 37,000 that need to be sifted through to come up with 56. And so give us a sense of the timetable from here.
So what's going to happen is there's going to be, and there may have already been, a lottery to draw a certain number of applicants from the social equity pool and then the general pool. So my understanding is that the applicants for each license type, or at least some of the license types from the social equity applicants, has been drawn, and the Social Equity Council and their accounting firm that they've retained are already looking at the applicants that have been drawn to see if they meet the criteria for social equity status. So they don't actually have to look through each of those applications. They're going to scrutinize the ones that are drawn in the lottery, decide whether they meet the criteria. And if they do, they'll be awarded a provisional license. And if they don't, they may get kicked back over to the general lottery.
So when will that process happen?
So that process is happening right now.
Okay.
And we're expecting to hear on who the first provisional license holders will be at the Social Equity Council's July 12th meeting.
So does that mean after July 12th, then they might be able to go ahead and open up a store?
Well, they'll have to comply with a number of requirements as part of the provisional license process in order to obtain a final license. And once they obtain a final license from the DCP, then they can open their doors.
Okay. So we might see something by the fall?
I think it's possible we could see something by the end of 2022, and likely be those existing medical operators who are converting to hybrid or existing multi-state operators who are coming in from out of state. But I think it's probably more likely we'll see stores opening in early 2023.
I'm curious. I mean, I don't know if this takes your legal hat off. We're talking with Sarah Westby. We appreciate the time, by the way, who's the co-chair of Shipman and Goodwin's cannabis team. With New York, well, New York's not quite there yet, but with New Jersey and of course, Massachusetts have been on board for a while. All you have to do is drive on 91 and you know that. Is there a sense that this business in Connecticut might not be as big as some people anticipate because of some saturation in the region in terms of the ability to access recreational cannabis?
Well, it could be, but I think from the projections I've seen, they're expecting a pretty significant market size in Connecticut. And at first, we're going to have a limited number of retail stores and cultivators. So the DCP and the legislature really wanted to try to control the supply and let the demand dictate the supply of how many licenses they award. Now, of course, it is illegal to cross state lines with cannabis, but we know that people do it. But I think having the convenience of being able to just go somewhere, you know, close to your home and not having to worry about that legal entanglement will create a significant market in Connecticut.
All right. This is really helpful, Sarah. I appreciate the time and the insight. We've been wanting to talk about this more for some time, so this was a good news peg to do so. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, Sarah Westby, co-chair of Shipman and Goodwin's cannabis team, joining us here on Brian and Company.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.